everybody. It's time for another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. We just got done with last week's version, and so much has already happened. Jim Curry, how about, boom, Hail E.T.? Lions got a win in their first ever. No asterisks, no you can't play after this date. Real live competition, and the Lion women 4-1 over Little Rock.
Yeah, impressive showing. You know, it was interesting because I happened to be talking to President Rudin at the game for a little bit, and he was talking about the first kind of D1 game 3 years ago.
All right,
we were at Oral Roberts, I believe, and we lost 4-0. All right, 4-0. And we didn't score a goal for the first month of the year, by the way. And so to think about where we were then and where we are now, and mind you, that was a good team too. So, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from that team. But just talking about the quality of non-conference competition, stepping into it, and then kind of where we are just 3 short years later, just kind of tells you about the arc of where it's kind of been. So I think that was it was certainly a reflective moment for a lot of us, and just to have kind of been through this process, some longer than others, that to just kind of think about where it kind of started, where it is now, and then where we're trying to go. Lions undefeated on the 25-26 campaign thus far overall. So shout out women's soccer.
Absolutely.
And we'll see if we can't keep it going. We take a little step up in class this week for women's soccer, though.
Tiny bit.
Yeah, tiny bit.
You know, it was really cool. You know, now we've got so much extra incentive to keep up with soccer because, you know, our soccer team's really good this year. And we look and see that one of our near rivals, Northwestern State, managed to eke out a 3-2 win over the University of Texas.
Yep.
Oops.
Yep.
In Austin.
In Austin, yeah. You know, we've talked about the quality of play in competition across the Southland and how it's really been elevated across all sports. We've talked about it last year. We talk about it now. We continue to see just, you know, proof of concept there with what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about some other things going on in the Southland here, I'm sure, in a second, in terms of exposure and visibility for the league. But, yeah, I mean, across the board, it's a much different Southland Conference than we entered 3 years ago. And, you know, I think as the conference has grown, I think we've been able to respond and grow with it, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, it's made it harder on a week-to-week basis, but at the same time, too, you know, iron sharpens iron. And I think what that also does, too, is it positions us for the non-conference. The non-conference positions us for conference play. Mm-hmm. So it works together to set up a dynamic where we can try to maximize what we can get in terms of athletic outcomes.
Good deal.
Yeah.
So Little Rock not in the top 25, but the Lions opponent tonight, is it?
Thursday night.
When you go to Oklahoma, that's the number 22 ranked team in the country now after last week's action. So I think all the biggest conference spotlight's going to be on the Lions.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. A great opportunity. You know, and you know, we've got Oklahoma State coming to Commerce next month as part of a non-conference tilt. We went there last year. Oklahoma this year. Oklahoma will come back next year here. So, again, when we talk about just the opportunities, the visibility, the type of opponent, the games we're looking at, getting great balance in there in terms of testing ourselves and preparing in the non-conference slate, both with, you know, mid-major institutions like ourselves, but then also taking a step up in class like we're doing with Oklahoma and, again, giving a platform and an opportunity to showcase our team. So I'm excited for them, excited for the university as a whole. And, you know, we're laying out the year to start the next month or so, Avi and I were kind of putting some things together for a presentation. It's, you know, you start to look at some of the opponents. It's Oklahoma. It's SMU.
Yeah.
It's Florida State. It's
who
Oklahoma
are these
State,
guys?
You know, and then we'll get to the hoop schedule eventually, but it'll also be impressive as well. So, again, awesome opportunity for the university to be, you know, in the same conversation as those institutions while at the same time, too, competing against the likes of the Little Rocks and the Gramblings, which also are great opponents and great, you know, kind of name recognition brands in our footprint particular.
All right. It's going to be interesting when the women's soccer RPIs come out. Those are probably, what, Avi, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks? They're almost done.
Yeah.
So they'll have those coming out, and they'll be fun to watch. But, you know, the Lions were the higher at the end of last year, they were rated higher than Little Rock. So yes. it's yep. kind of, you know, you, right. you got a feel for where people are.
I'm sure Oklahoma's,
but it's higher than us.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you talked about it with Ashley but last week. But, you know, Little Rock finished second in the league last year in the OVC. Coach has been there about the same amount of time as Ashley. They have a nice program, a good program. They came out and really punched us, honestly. They came out quick, effective, scored early, obviously. They did. Great response by our girls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and even talking to Ashley, I'm sure you'll talk to her too. But, like, you can tell a little bit of nerves, right, to get it going, right? Even with an experienced team that's had some success, you know, there's still a little bit of nerves on opening night for them. But they responded well and really, really showed their quality in their class by the end of it.
Great stuff. Four goals by four different players, I believe.
Three different players.
We'll get more details for you on that. Hey, let's try and stick with the fall sports and work through. Football's coming up. We're getting closer and closer to a date with the Ponies of SMU next week.
Yeah, it's here. You know, it's I'm sure, you know, Clint will talk about it, but you know, they've moved on to SMU and install there, and yeah, it's here. Again, we've talked about it, but just continued great response on the SMU game. We'll sit down and start allocating tickets here later this week and get those out soon. And yeah, it's a great response. Really looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun and a great opportunity. Again, ranked opponent, top 20 team in the country, national TV. I mean, when you think about what you're, you know, the type of positioning you want to put yourself as an institution for opportunities to showcase and leverage the platform of Division I athletics, it doesn't get any better than this.
Don't let it be just a little upset. Let it be a big one.
Perfect. I love it.
So, you mentioned how the ticket sales, not only for the SMU game, are going so well, but even Florida State has been that game has resulted in your phone ringing up from some others. Have these two high-profile lid lifters kind of raised some awareness within the Lion ticket buying?
I would say it's raised awareness everywhere. To include even in Tallahassee. And I can say that I actually had to go this week to a memorial service out there, but I was back in town for a day, and, you know, people are talking about East Texas A&M there, right? And so it's funny. And actually, there's some people I actually ran into who I've known for a long time who actually didn't know that I had left. And they're like, I haven't seen you in a while. Where you been? And I'm like, well, I've been in Texas for 2 years. They're like,
did you turn red? I mean, that's a funny question.
And so,
to get
and
asked.
They would be like, so where are you at? And I'm like, I'm at East Texas. And they're like, you're there. And so you know, they put it together, but it wasn't what's East Texas. It's you're there. Like, and which is good in terms of, like, they recognize the brand name there as a result. And so, you know, they kind of put it all together. And again, that was a handful of folks too, but you know, a lot of people do know that, you're coming out here back here in the next few weeks. But, it was kind of fun, but it's getting recognition across the country. There's just no doubt about it. And, you know, you talked about just the response to that game. It's not the same volume, obviously, as SMU, but we do have fans that are traveling out there. They have made it very clear. We've got a really good group of folks, of Lions supporters coming out. And, you know, I think for them, it's you know, being able to experience that type of game day atmosphere.
Nobody
the traditions,
here.
That type of stuff to come with it.
Nobody here. I mean, if they've been to a game, but that their Lions have been in. Nobody that's here has ever been in a stadium with 90,000 people that don't like us.
Yeah, and you know, I think when you start to look at the opportunity to kind of experience some of those iconic venues, the, you know, some of the great traditions in college football, and just, you know, they exist at all levels. Mm-hmm. You're more familiar with the ones in Division One, of course, and so I think also too, like, the type of experience it provides for our fans, our university, the brand, our student athletes, our coaches, you know, it's just, these are things that mean something to people, right? And it means something to us. And so it's a good thing. So I think that's where we've seen that response is, you know, people being able to have now the opportunity to experience some of this rich tradition and just the experience that comes with just a college football game day and being a part of that now and having some connection to it, not just from a TV or thinking it's cool, but, hey, it's cool. And now my Lions are on the field at the same time, too. So let's go. It's great.
What could possibly be not to like about any of this? All right, so we've got a couple other folks stepping up into the fall schedule.
Yeah,
golf's getting
fast.
Going, and you also have a new cross-country coach and probably a few new cross-country runners.
We got a new cross-country coach. That group came off its best finish in Southland competition last year, had our first all-conference runner last year as well. So the great trajectory with the cross-country programs. Again, new coach coming in to help support George in that space. So excited there. They'll very likely be our first team to participate in an NCAA Division I postseason competition. The way that the regionals work out in cross country is, it's not the same type of, you know, obviously with cross country, it's not just one champion goes. It's an open invitation, but an opportunity there up at Arkansas in November. So a really cool kind of moment there. And I've kind of shared that with them just in terms of what that would mean for them. And then, and then golf will get started, believe it or not, this fall. What we've done with the schedule, I'm sure Brian will talk about it at some point, but we've tried to get out a little bit more and get some exposure there. We've got, obviously, the men had a huge climb from where they were 2 years ago last year.
Right.
The women were back again in contention for a championship. So a lot of good golfers back. And so I know Brian's excited to get them going. And then, volleyball starting up. Believe it or not, here it is. So,
Coach Joe,
two scrimmages this week. Got Tyler in at the end of the week and the weekend, and then next week again talking about opportunities. You know, with some really quality competition. So, the tournament that we'll have here Wednesday or Friday, Saturday, Providence, Little Rock, North Texas. So some good names there, and then they get on the road, and you want to talk about a gauntlet of a schedule for them, and you know, Joe. Joe loves those opportunities for sure. He's not afraid to schedule anybody, I feel like. They'll go to Iowa. They'll go to, you know, Fort Collins and play Colorado State. They're they're going all over the place to put the brand on display. So a good opportunity for them. They have a great group. A great group of young ladies there. So I'm excited to get them off the ground too. And then hopefully again preparing us for Southland play that will then culminate with us hosting the volleyball championships here later in November.
God, yeah. That's going to be a really busy weekend. Are you going to clone yourself and Avi and a few others?
So we're going to have to. Let's
host
that
the tournament.
Because we also have our first conference basketball game that weekend as well.
Yes.
We got the conference schedule out a couple weeks ago. Now, here's the crazy thing, too. So we talk about that weekend. That's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm gonna throw you a curveball here. So we kind of have little touch point meetings with the conference office in advance of the tournament.
Right, of course.
30, 60, 90, 120 days out. This week is our 90-day out meeting from the tournament in volleyball, which is the weekend before Thanksgiving. So if anybody needs to start thinking about their Thanksgiving plans, I guess it's here. If you need to know fall's here, it's here. All right, so
it has made its way all the way in.
It is here.
It was so
and
much
we haven't even
cooler.
Started classes yet.
I know.
That's Monday.
It was so much cooler this morning. I was like, fall sports in the fall? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm a native, though. I know that. We shouldn't really expect fall until about half past October. So,
well, I'll say it's been a nice summer here.
It's been really hot
this past week, but
Last 6 weeks, maybe it's been, well, maybe not even that long.
Yeah.
Because it was after the 4th before it really started smoking us.
I think it's been a really nice summer.
Wow.
Here, so, yeah.
Wow.
Not as hot as last year, that's for sure.
We'll take it.
That's exactly right.
How'd movie night go? Did y'all have fun?
Really nice.
I saw a few pictures from up high, but how many folks turned out? Did you get a good crowd?
Yeah, we had a good crowd. It was nice. I mean, the student athletes showed up. Great response there. It was hot, so I think that did hurt us a little bit on the draw. So we did debrief a little bit on that just to see, you know, is there a better time? But it was really hot. Once the sun went down and went behind the press box there. Mm-hmm. Noticeable difference, but we want to continue to try to just engage the Northeast Texas community. It's important for us, and so we'll continue to look for different ways to continue to at least provide opportunities for touch point to people to come out, engage with what we're doing, and again great partnership there with Hedro and sponsoring that event and making it aware for folks here in Commerce and our surrounding communities, and so we'll look to kind of do similar things in the future, but really enjoyed it.
Concert night.
I love
just
that too.
Get like I mean you love can that put too. Up you know the Talking Heads do one of their concerts or Earth, Wind and Fire.
Well, you know, so
or George Strait. Take
you know we talked last week. We talked about kind of the changes to tailgate and where we're positioning that and you know what that does. What frees up some? We didn't really talk about this, but a little bit of just thinking down the road here a little bit. You know, freed up that grass space. Across from lot two, you know, mm-hmm. the stadium where a little bit of the tailgate was set up last year. And so could we look at stage and turnkey tailgates and some different activation there to provide some opportunities? So that's definitely, I would say concerts in the, it's in the think tank right now.
Music.
For sure.
It's, soothes the soul.
Yeah. Just trying to create a, you know, even how do we enhance the game day experience for everybody? And that's a constant, you know, a constant effort that we're engaged in to try to examine that and look at it because, you know, it's again, you get out here on a Saturday and football's in the air and, you know, it can be a really great day for anybody. So we're excited about it. And we think what we've done with tailgate can certainly help in that. You know, we talked about this
dynamic with tailgate previously where mm-hmm. you didn't tailgate at your car. You had to transport everything to your right. spot and then transport it back. So we had a call from someone this week saying, okay, so talk to me again about tailgate and parking. And they were like, so I can just like bring my grill and I just like set it up and then I just put it back in. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is awesome.
pop the hood, warm up the hot dog, turn the manifold.
That's exactly it. Someone was like, well, is there electricity? I said, well, before there, you didn't have access to your vehicle. So depending on how you set up your tailgate setup, you could use, in essence, your vehicle as a power source. Obviously, that you know, there's a couple of different things you got to do there, but your vehicle could be a power source for you if you really wanted to. And they're like, oh, I said, there's not about that because we couldn't do that before. Like, so the wheels have started turning for folks in terms of like, how do I leverage the adjacency now to the vehicle and to the grass spaces and the hardscape spaces that we've tried to create with this new tailgating dynamic.
Love it,
yeah.
I just got to learn a new, but you know, I had to learn how to go from a VHS to a CD to a DVD player.
You know what?
I learned all three of those.
You know what I think is I can. You know what I can figure out?
Tell me.
It just even myself can park, crack the trunk, crack the can. All right, I can figure that out all day. So, trying to make it nice and easy.
That's nice how in. Simple it's going to be to tailgate at Lion Athletics.
And it wasn't that simple before, but it is now. So
hey, there's going to be a tailgate area for us at SMU.
There is, yep.
Not very close, but there's going to be a place.
No, there will be. And so, yep, so got some information. There's some information circulating out about that. 5 to 8. If you're an Alumni Association member, that's a free access for you. If you're a Lion Athletic Scholarship Fund member and you need a little, or you're not, and you need a little incentive to get in, there's some free opportunity there as well to join us at that. And then if you're not, opportunity to purchase a very nominally priced ticket to join us for some food and drink and fellowship before kicking off with against SMU.
Has anybody planned any kind of a tailgate at the Ranger game coming up when it's Lion Night at the ballpark?
It is Lion Day at the park on Sunday this week, and I think it kicks off. What I would say is it kicks off a pretty busy week for the university as a whole. But there is also a tailgate before that over at Lockhart's. Mm-hmm. Texas Live.
Okay.
So there is a tailgate there as well. So information about that, if you need it, we've got it for you. Game at 1:30, and Lucky will be there. Lucky the Lion will be in attendance as well. So, it's going to be a great day. It's always a lot of fun. Rangers have been great partners for us. You know, it's the branding in the right field wall. It's definitely working because I'll have friends or colleagues from across the country who are watching their team play at the Rangers mm-hmm. and say, did I see your university on the wall out in right field? Like, yeah, you did. Like, so I've had that happen multiple times from people outside of Texas. So it's been kind of cool to see that.
I mean,
yeah, but great partners with the Rangers. They've been fantastic.
And the Lions hit better too.
They, yeah.
Golly, ooh, it's been struggling of late.
Yeah.
But you know, since 72, go Rangers.
There it is.
That's what I have to
say.
So
we got Rangers Sunday, Start of class is Monday.
All right.
We kind of fast forward. It's welcome week here on campus, of course, so a lot of activation there with just new students. We've got Thursday. We've got home soccer against Grambling. There is also an event called Lions Reserve. It's a new scholarship event that the university is hosting on the same day. So, again, nice opportunity to have some more fellowship there with Lions and support student scholarships across the university. Friday is the day before game. We've got a big mixer with former Lion football student athletes down in Dallas. For them, and then we also have home volleyball Friday, home volleyball Saturday,
that's gonna
SMU
be great.
Saturday, home soccer against Abilene Christian on Sunday.
Man.
So let's go.
It's all here. Who says nothing happens in Hunt County? No.
So, you know, we talked about just some of the big exposure opportunities, but one big one that we just released right before we got on here.
Best for last
was a new partnership announcement with the Southland Conference and CBS Sports to nationally televise five men's basketball games on linear broadcast.
Of the conference, not Lion games.
We could be one of those. And so, you know, again, we talk about what's happening in the league,
right?
The profile of the league elevating. New ESPN renewed partnership that we announced just a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now this new opportunity for additional Southland Conference basketball, potentially including the Lions, to be able to be featured national TV, CBS Sports. I mean, it's validation and continued just proof that the league is continuing to grow in profile. We're a part of that growth. Credit to everybody else in the league as well. But these are the opportunities that are now available to us for additional exposure, additional reach, not just here in Northeast Texas, but across the entire country. So couldn't be more excited about the opportunity to showcase all the league schools, but in particular East Texas A&M.
It's amazing. And I don't mean to beat it to death, but just as an example of just how many more eyes on. How many eyes were on the New Mexico basketball opener message? It was like 300,000 in 2 days.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And that would be a really good year for like a 2017 year for Lion Athletics to get the same kind of exposure.
Yeah, no question. I think, you know, Avi and I have talked a little bit too. You know, we really want to see what we can try to capture in terms of that reach data over these first few weeks of the year across all sports, because we know that with what we're doing from a scheduling and competition perspective, the opportunities that in front of us in terms of just national TV, linear broadcast, those first 2 weeks in football, then obviously what we've got going down the road with hoops. But, you know, it feels like every week now, it's a hit or a post or some type of, you know, just announcement that's getting literally hundreds of thousands of impressions on East Texas A&M. And again, it's not always East Texas A&M basketball or East Texas A&M football. It's East Texas A&M as a university. And so again, we knew that this platform and this opportunity to showcase and amplify the university's brand was there. And so it's incumbent on us and our roles here to continue to leverage and push for just overall growth of the university. And, you know, we can see and validate just from the data alone that it's happening.
Awesome stuff. Well, let's go out on that, man.
We're going to go out on that
we
one.
We got
right there.
Lots
a good
more
one.
For yeah. you on this. What a busy, busy week. And now, you know, at CBS, you go to a party, you got a great date, and then CBS shows up.
That's right. Hey, we're coming to the party with two
there
dates,
you go.
All right?
There yeah. you go.
I mean, you got ESPN and CBS, all right? Last time I checked, that was pretty good.
That's all right. Stick around. We're going to line up here and come back with more Inside Lion Athletics right after this. Hey, everybody, we're back with some more Inside Lion Athletics. We've got Ashley Gordon stepping in now. Coach. That was a dub in your all D1, fully accessible, fully qualified. That was a big day for Lion Athletics. Congratulations.
Thank you. Nothing I did. It was all the women, but it was a great way to start off the season, for sure.
Good crowd came out to see that one, too, and they had plenty to cheer about in a 4-1 win.
That's right.
Nobody else in the Southland scored that many goals in their opener.
Not even looking beyond ourselves, really. I mean, you know, our goal was to come off of preseason, and with all, you know, throwing everything that we can. And, you know, we had a lot of really good production. I mean, I was really pleased with the way that we played and the, you know, we had a little bit of a slow start, I think, just settling some nerves at the very beginning of the game. But then once we settled in, I mean, I thought we completely controlled the game.
I mean, it looked like Little Rock came out with a little bit of a speed advantage up front, but it wasn't really so much an advantage. It was just like, hey, we got to run faster.
I know.
And
right.
It worked out okay.
Yeah, but we – no, I think, again, once we settled into the game and found our rhythm – you know, you could see just the confidence with everybody. And, you know, we've got a really fast front line. But, you know, again, really pleased with how we played. I thought our forward production, not just from Maya Mitchell and Hannah Bell, but even Renata when she subbed in, you know, we were able to really bring players into the game. But when you look at really Maya and Hannah Bell from those two alone, just from a, you know, shot count, I mean, between the two of them had 10 shots.
Wow.
And, you know, to be honest, you could have blindfolded Maya and she wasn't missing.
Nice.
She wasn't missing the goal. But both of them had, you know, played really well. I had two goals and assist. Hannah Bell had a goal and assist. Renata also had assists. So, again, you know, we're getting production from all of the forwards, which I think is fantastic. That's, you know, that's what we want to see. That's what we need to see. You know, and I think in that game, all of our defenders that played, you know, I'd mentioned in the last podcast, Kelsey Lefevre from Princeton, who's been subbing in and who also gave, you know, really good minutes the other day. Just a lot of energy coming in off the bench. And so this is really, I think, also the first year that we have a ton of depth in the back and a lot of versatility. We've got a lot of players that can play inside as well as outside. And so I was really, you know, pleased with that. You know, I think if there's really any knock coming away from that game, and although I thought our midfielders played well, we need to get more production in regards to final third, shots on goal, crosses, services. You know, I think we could get more production from our midfielders. You know, one of the team's goals going into the game was, you know, being able to have, actually the number was 7 that they chose. They come up something that's tangible goals.
Okay.
And they, you know, they were wanting to have 7 corner kicks, and that's exactly what we had. So, you know, I think when you look at all of last year's stats, since we lead the Southland Conference with corner kicks, you know, that on average, we typically can get 7, 8, or 9. And so, you know, if that's players' goals, we were able to reach that.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, I thought coming away with a good win, good jump, and led into some things that we needed to polish up this, you know, going into this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with two different completely opponents that we're going to play this weekend.
Boy, don't you.
Yes.
You got a little SEC action coming up tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oral Roberts on Sunday.
Yes.
That's a busy week.
It's a busy weekend. So about to get on the bus and head to Oklahoma. And, of course, this will be, you know, our first time to play against OU. We've got them also on the schedule. They're going to return to us actually next year in 26.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be a great game. You know, and they've jumped off to a really good start. So they're ranked now 22 in the country,
mm-hmm.
Coming off of a really big win. Well, and they 2-0. They beat Creighton. 4-1, really the score wasn't a reflection of the game. It was a pretty tight game, to tell you the truth, statistically. And then, you know, they played OSU.
Right.
And jumped all over OSU.
That's just a battle.
It
doesn't matter,
I know,
the sport. They can be out there with jacks.
It is.
They'd be hitting each other.
So of course, and these are both two opponents that we're gonna face. We play OSU here in a couple of weeks at home.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this will be a test for sure. We got to be ready. We have nothing to, you know, we have nothing to lose for sure, and we're gonna come out and play our best.
Coach, take us behind the curtain a little bit on how you break down the aftermath of, like, the Little Rock game. How many times, who all is watching all the film and breaking it apart? Is that something that
our staff? Yes, we do. Of course, we break down, you know, our own game right away. Try to cut film, and then, you know, we go into our opponents. Mm-hmm. And so we've already been able to watch, you know, our opponents for OU and OSH, OU and Oral Roberts play. But again, it's one game first, so it's not a matter of game planning in regards to practice. Like, everything mm-hmm. that we're going over today really is pregame for the OU match. Once we play OU, then it's a matter of dressing how we want to be able to play against Oral Roberts. But we've already been able to watch all the film for this
week.
Okay.
It's interesting to see how the coaches, you know, break it up and who teaches what. I mean, somebody focusing on forwards and
We look at it all. I mean, you know, in love, and we have a great tool that we use with Y Scout through Huddle, which really breaks down all the statistics. So it's great because, you know, we can watch a full match, but then also we can go into each individual, whether it's a goalkeeper's position, you know, how many times she's handling the ball, what is her distribution, saves. It is really broken down specifically to player, to team. Heat map. I mean, it gives us a lot.
Oh, wow.
It gives us a lot of tools, that we can go through. But it's extremely detailed.
So by the time you've built up a library of 2025 play before the start of conference, and all the other teams have done the same thing, tendencies and habit, you get a pretty good idea of that.
Yeah, so even today with our pregame, you know, we talked about personalities playing for OU that we have to be able to address. Who are their playmakers? Who are their targets? What are the tendencies from an attacking standpoint and defensive standpoint? And then, you know, we go through those scenarios of how we're going to be able to handle them. Of course, nothing is ever, you know, completely black and white, but at the same time, we need to prepare our team to understand what are the personalities and the tendencies that we're going to be facing.
Jarrett Von Rosen.
There's no surprises,
right,
for sure.
Right. Rose talks about when in their prep for games that they'll, you know, always focus. There's always a blue guy. The blue guy on the other team's the best guy on the floor. And they make note of that and make sure that everybody's aware of when number 12 or whatever it is steps out. Watch that guy.
Yeah, I think certainly by watching OU, they're going to have a number of players. They have a number of transfers, I believe, you know, 17 new players.
Wow.
And Matt, you know, Matt Mott's a good coach. I've known him for many, many, many years. I actually was coaching against him when I was at Mississippi State and he was at Ole Miss. And we've been on, you know, regional team staff together, and so I know him. I know he's going to, you know, always do a good job. But anyway, he's got 17 new players, and that's between the portal and freshmen. And so, you know, we're facing a goalkeeper who I think is really good, transfer from Duke. She's so far from what I've seen, I think one of the top goalkeepers, certainly not just in the SEC, I think in the country in regards to her distribution. So we've got certain things that we need to be able to address, and they've got a really good fast front line, but so do we. So, you know, they're going to have to defend our two as well.
Lions are definitely with speed. How many games, Coach, into a season before you really feel like you've got your hands on the club and everybody's on the same page?
Well, my goal is always making sure that we're prepared to start conference play and that we should all be on the same
page at
the end of the day. So, you know, but
six games before conference?
If you're factoring in your exhibition matches, I mean, you could play as many as 10. So, but for us, you know, we want to come out of preseason, and I always talk about with our team. team, you know, where next week will be a month that we've been on campus and in training. And so what is our overall game fitness? Where, you know, we want to be able to see, you know, certainly a step forward in positives a month in. But, you know, again, it's we got to address, you know, every opponent differently. Mm-hmm. And we'll see a variation. So, you know, when we play OU, they're a very direct team. When we face Oral Roberts on Saturday night, they're a team that fancies themselves in regards to possession, and that's starting with the goalkeeper and being able to pass out. So it's going to be totally two different styles that we're going to see, which I think is great for our preparation going into conference play because, you know, we'll be able to see it all. You know, OU is going to play in a formation of a 3-5-2. That'll be the first time we, of course, we've only played one game, but, you know, the first time we'll have seen that. And we might not see a 3-5-2 again until we get into conference play, and there might be one or two opponents that's playing in that formation. And, you know, with Oral Roberts could be, you know, playing in another formation, but again, a totally two different styles of play. So I always feel like, you know, what we want to get out of all of our non-conference play really is to prepare us for conference, and then we'll see if we can have a run for it.
Okay. Let's have a run for it. You got to run it yourself. You got a bus to catch.
Yep.
So we're going to Lions up here.
Why not?
And 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, Thursday evening, and you can watch it on?
ESPN Plus.
That's
both
it.
Games. And we're Saturday night at 7.
Cheer on the Lions. All right, everybody. We'll
Lions.
Be back with more in just a minute. We're back, everybody. Just wanted to see how long they could stand us not talking, Joe. It's not very long. Maybe it's how long I can stand not talking. How about some Lion volleyball, man? You got them, the team together. You had your trip up to Broken Bow.
Yeah.
Had a little team building. Had a few cooking classes, too,
it sounds like.
You let them cook for you the whole weekend.
You know, we teach the work ethic here, and we want to make sure that we're doing it, and that applies everywhere. And so, you know, we took them on that trip, and yes, it was fun, but they had to work a little bit, too. So we had a day where they cooked their own dinner for everyone and cleaned it up, and I got to admit, it was delicious. It was good.
What kind of activities, the team building ones? Everybody's trying to accomplish one goal, but then you got a few of them that go head to head.
Right. We did my assistants were really good, Emily Witt and Rich Rosales, who kind of created the games, and we did some leadership ones where, you know, you blindfold someone and you're kind of directing them through like a little obstacle maze over red Solo cups, and they couldn't touch
them.
I've
seen that one.
You know, it's kind of interesting everyone wants to be the leader and the captain, but, you know, one thing I found is, like, who could articulate the best, you know? They can maybe do it the best, but can they teach it or articulate it? And you find that through a lot of young coaches, too. But, you know, what words are using, you know? Sometimes they get a little reactionary, go, step, and there's nothing in between. It's kind of vague. And so we saw a little bit of that transpire through the games, and but it was fun. It was fun watching them. And every time they touched the red Solo cup, they had to go back and do it again. So we did kind of games like that, some three-legged races where they had to kind of work together a little bit. And it was great. I think they enjoyed it. It was fun. You know, we had winners in each one. But a lot of it was based off of leadership and teamwork.
Good deal.
So it was good.
So I want to know, you know, because food, you know, Brock and I mean, that's why we do this. It's just to go travel and eat.
Absolutely.
But how'd the cooking go?
Anybody went well.
Come out with some cordon bleu?
No. It was
lobster thermidor.
Well, we had to keep a budget because we're still, we had to bring our food over there. So, you know, we were deciding, okay, well, we want to make sure everyone's involved in the process. And, of course, we couldn't have 17 kids in the kitchen. That would have been disastrous a little bit.
Yes.
So you could see the ones that are like, oh, I don't want to cook. Don't pick me. And so we had to dive a little bit and get the ones that were – we want them to be uncomfortable a little bit, right? Because that's what the season's about is being comfortable, uncomfortable. And so We kind of mix and match them a little bit, but the ones that were really confident in cooking kind of took the lead. So showing the younger ones or the new ones or how to cook and what to do and kind of lead that. And so Haley did a great job of that in cooking. There were some other ones in there. But it was fantastic. It was fantastic. We had, you know, spaghetti, garlic bread, corn. They actually forgot to make the mashed potatoes.
Oh no!
We bought it. It was sitting there. It kind of went by. But you know what? It was delicious. We had that. So it was a really good meal. So they did a really good job. And of course, the ones that did not were not in the kitchen. Guess what they got? They got cleanup crew, right?
Yeah. I probably would have been best there. Yeah, I mean, I can boil water.
I'm not gonna lie. I'll be the cleanup crew too. You know, you cook food, I'll eat it. I'll clean it up.
Whatever. You're right.
But no, it was good. It was a good dinner that night, and it was fun.
All right, well, tonight, Wednesday night, the yes. Blue and Gold scrimmage, you get to go up against some former players and former Lions.
No. That's not. This is just the inner squad.
Oh, excuse me,
no,
inner
that's
squad.
Fine. That's
oh.
fine. That's okay. Alumni. What,
we were talking about Kingsville.
Yes.
Sorry about that, folks.
No worries.
Got you
no
excited.
But, no, I mean, hopefully we can get the alumni thing going in the spring.
Okay.
That would be a great idea for us. A lot of our former players are also coaches, so it's hard to do it in the fall.
There's a lot of
A lot, and I love watching them. I've seen a lot in club and the high school world. But tonight, specifically, it's our blue and gold inner squad scrimmage. So you'll see the team divided up into blue and gold jerseys. And my assistants will be coaching them as I will be kind of walking and evaluating. And throughout the game, you'll see some switching parts. So you'll see a blue jersey with the gold team and a gold jersey with the blue team, because this is another way of playing, but also kind of seeing what kind of lineups we want to do and
right.
how we want to work, you know, and that's going to come in handy. So 6:30 tonight is game.
Okay.
We're going to treat it like a real game. We'll have officials there because they got to get used to the protocol.
Sure.
So that's tonight for sure.
And then Saturday, a full bore scrimmage, and this one's totally against another team. UT Tyler is coming up.
Yeah, UT Tyler's coming up. That's going to be fun. Lindsay, the head coach, Lindsay Mash, is a good friend of mine, an hour and a half down the road. And we get to do it in our home gym. So tonight, we're kind of gearing up for that to mm-hmm. see some lineups. And then that's another opportunity for us to kind of get the kinks out a little bit, see what's working before we go into our opening weekend, which is, the following weekend.
I know. And that's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, North Texas is coming. Okay, everybody's, ooh, that's nice. And then you got Arkansas, Little Rock back.
Yeah.
But how about Providence?
Yeah.
Let's get somebody out of the Big East down here and show them what's what.
Yeah, I'm excited for them to come. And you know, it's going to be great competition. You know, seeing teams from conferences that are not necessarily geographically close to us.
Right.
You know, you got UNT, who's on the other side of Dallas. So we see them a little bit. And they're a great team. So we're excited for them. Little Rock's coming back. We're excited for them. But having Providence is something new for our kids too, to experience the East, you know, Big East, and so we're excited for it, and it's going to be fun. And so our kids are, you know, we're 3 weeks into preseason, so they're itching to play now. So,
what level of competition in the Division I is the Big East Conference? How does that conference rank against the SEC, the Southland?
I think it's up there. I think you're going to have your top teams. I believe who's in the Big East? Creighton is probably the top team out there. And so
okay.
They're a tournament team. They're a Final Four team. Could mm-hmm. potentially be a Final Four. So you're going to see some high level. I mean, they're – Providence College is facing some high-level competition in the Big East, and so no doubt about it. So you're going to be able to see a little bit of that style, and so we're excited. Granted, it's going to be the first weekend, so everybody's getting the rust off,
mm-hmm.
But we're excited to see that. I want to say it's Marquette, and Marquette's another top contender too. They're a pretty good volleyball program as well. So you're going to see a lot of face a lot of competition. I'm not too certain where Providence lies. But I think this season overall in volleyball, it's just going to be interesting to see. Because I think it's the way recruiting is working, the way the transfer portal is working. I think it's, you know, you're going to have the bigs, but I think everyone else is going to be up, you know, fighting for opportunities. And I think that's going to be fun to watch.
Excellent. And with opportunities beyond the Southland tournament,
yeah.
Some of these are kind of prep for even after.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're going into after our home. Well, you know, we're going to go to Grand Canyon and see mm-hmm. some top teams with Grand Canyon, who's a good RPI team, and former head coach of West Texas Air.
Be glad that's an indoor sport. It's warm out there in Arizona this time of year.
Absolutely. So we're excited to see that. We'll see Washington State there. And then following weekend, we go to Colorado State, another good RPI team. And then we'll see Notre Dame. So, and then we'll finish off the preseason with at Iowa. And we'll see Iowa and Lindenwood. So we had a tough schedule, but I think we're excited about that. I think that, you know, we're still climbing the ladder a little bit. And so in this Division I era and here at East Texas. And that's the goal, right? That's where we want to – that's the direction we want to take it in. And
yeah.
We're excited for that. And then it's conference play.
I was asking Coach Ashley about her soccer team and how long she watches it.
Yeah.
As they kind of when do you feel like you have kind of a real grip on what you have?
You know,
is it all the way through non-conference or?
Yeah, you know,
I guess
I think,
the team probably has some say in that.
Sure, sure. My goal is always to be good in October, November, right? We wanna make, you know, especially now everybody's excited about us being D1. So coming out of Southland, you got to get to the tournament. You got to win the tournament.
That's right.
You're not going to get the at-large bid. And so we want to be good in October and November. And so all these preseason games, they do matter to us because we want to get better each and every time.
Sure.
And so for us, it's more about how our lineups are setting up for October and November a little bit and the last week of September. So conference is everything here in the Southland, and that's where we're gearing up to. But – you know, we want to make a splash the first four weekends. So,
all right. Yeah. Last question.
Yeah.
And it may anything to do with volleyball as much as it does about coaching and
sure.
Just, you know, when you've been around a sport a while, how many players have you coached that are coaching now? Ballpark.
Oh, God,
I mean,
ballpark. Wow.
10, 20.
20, I would assume. 20 in the 20s, I would assume.
Out of how many years?
Oh, gosh. I think this is my 16th year.
Okay.
In collegiate and third year at the head. So, see, about. I would say in the 20s. And I got one of them right now as my assistant.
Not bad.
Emily Witt, you know. So, yeah.
This player's going to be a coach. I mean, do you see that in them sometimes?
You can see it towards the end of their career a little bit.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of kids realize that when they leave the sport, they're like, man, I got to go. I kind of like the volleyball realm.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it all the time. And they're like, yeah, I could teach, but I really like the volleyball realm. Or, yeah, I think I can go get this job, but I really miss this. And so that's how it worked out for me. Like, I went to the corporate world, and I want to get back in the gym. And so I see that a little bit in some of the players using their latter part of the year, senior year and whatnot. And so, I would say in the 20s, maybe even a little bit more, but definitely in the 20s. And it ranges from high school to club ball. And some in college, you know. We were just talking about Kingsville, and the assistant there was one of our players at Kingsville, so that I helped recruit with Tanya. So, like, a lot of, you know, and you see that in the coaching realm a little bit, but I still keep in touch with a lot of them, you know, and so including ones here at East Texas A&M.
You're still coach, man.
Hey.
I see my high school coach about once every 5 years, and he's still coach.
It's good to hear from them and see them. And some of them I've even, you know, in the club world, they're coaching, and I'm maybe recruiting their kid. So it's kind of trickle effect a little bit. It's great to see, though. It's so great to see.
All right.
Those times are special, for sure.
Excellent. All right, Blue and Gold scrimmage is on the floor at? 6:30.
Yeah.
Come at 6. You'll get to watch them warm up.
Yeah, you'll see them warm up.
Hang out with the Lion volleyball team and then see them do their thing as they get ready for a big year. We're going to line up here. Joe Morales, thanks for joining us.
Go Lions.
It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate that. You do it so well, too. Morales.
Morales.
I love that.
If my mouth's dry, my R's don't roll quite as well.
There you go. Come on.
Joe Morales.
There you go.
There it is.
Okay.
Thank
absolutely.
You. All right, everybody. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, we're back with more Inside Lion Athletics. We've been waiting on football since the last football season. And it's getting closer, Coach.
It is.
SMU next week. Yikes.
Yeah, so it didn't hit me till yesterday. We've had all our seniors, and we've had a lot. We got a lot of them this year, 24. And they've been you know, our series of letting them talk and tell their story to all the rest of the classmen, introduce each other, you know, because offense and defense, sometimes you don't even know the other kids. And
they're not supposed to even like them.
Right. They don't that they're this teammates. Time of year. Yeah. Right? So that's a big part of it. It's kind of, you know, getting to know, you know, all the guys we have. And, you know, one of the last speaker yesterday out of our 24, it just hit me. He said, next Saturday. I was like, wow, we've been so involved in, you know, fall camp that it's just been this, you know, next practice, and here we are 10 days, and we're going to play SMU.
It's a little different than some of the others we've been up against.
It is. You know, and that's been my thing, too, you know, coming in here and my first year in Old Dominion and the next, you know, last year South, you know, San Diego State, and now – bigger jumps to SMU and Florida State.
Don't worry, Coach. We won't schedule San Diego State for you next year. We'll do something else.
So, you know, I'm anxious to see, you know, what we got. You know, we've had a lot of turnover, a lot of new faces, especially on the defensive side. So I'm anxious to see how they get out there. And I've been really preaching, you know, right now everything's great. And what happens, you know, I know what's going to happen with the guys I've been with, what's going to happen when you hit adversity and how you're going to react to that. And, you know, we've had a lot over the years, and my kids have reacted well and then played hard, you know, from the first kickoff to the very last play of any game. They gave me everything, and I don't expect anything different, but you don't know until you know.
That's right. Get them out there and let them hit or be hit or avoid being hit, right, whichever the case may be. How about the depth this year? You know, year three, there was that big waterfall that impacted – recruits, JUCO sure. level, high school level. Are you starting to get a feel for what you got depth wise?
Yeah, it's obviously gotten better. You know, we've made the transition. We're full tilt now in D1 and get to go to playoffs if we, you know, do what we're supposed to do. It is great. Obviously recruiting, we talked about that, how that's going to help that as well. But yeah, you know, my first year out of, if you got 22 stars, and we're just talking about offense and defense, you know, we probably had 5-6 guys out of both sides that we felt, you know, should be there.
They were the untouchables.
Right. And then, you know, last year we felt like we had, you know, 12 or 13. This year where we've, you know, got a little even more, we're around 20, you know, to 22 starters. Mm-hmm. So in that aspect, we're a lot better. And, you know, the backups to that are more quality players, absolutely. You know, going from, again, the transition to having to be 105 instead of having 140 players out there, you have to manage practice different and make sure everybody is trying to come out healthy, which has been a struggle.
Right.
But not too bad. We're coming out of that injury-wise and should be pretty close to full healthy in a week or so. So excited about that. And the depth is there. It's just your starters are starters for a reason. They've earned the job. We feel like we can trust, you know, what's out there, and that when you start, you know, getting into backups that they're having to play. And, you know, defensively, there you have starters, but when you look at it with all the substitution and just getting tired, you know, it's probably 60-40 that, you know, their starters play versus your backups. So you got to have good backup quality, you know, on the defensive side for sure. Or offense, it's not so much. You know, your line's not really rotating that much, you know, like the defense. Your quarterback's your quarterback. He's not leaving for the most part, you hope. And then your skill guys, yeah, you can revolve that door a little bit. And I feel like we can. I think we got 6 to 8, you know, receivers that I don't have a problem with who's out there on the football field, which is a great, you know, great to feel. Tight end wise, you know, we're a little bit limited there with losing Sean. You know, we're coming along there too. We're going to be a little more physical at that position, hopefully. We moved Ethan Vasquez to basically wire H, who is pretty much a hammer for us. You know, he played right guard for us, very aggressive, which fits that position, you know, and use him in some joker fullback types that you mentioned earlier. He fits that mold, you know, at 6'1", 275. He brings it. And
there's your truck.
Right. We'll use that aggression for him.
Or refrigerator.
Anything
pick a household appliance.
Yeah, no, I'm excited with that part of it. You know, obviously really, really tough matchups with the physicality of the first 2 weeks of just, you know, different people, different human beings we're used to seeing.
20 out of 22. How many battles were there for those 20?
A lot, you know, which is good because if the battle's just now being won, that means you've got a quality backup, you know, if you feel good about that starter.
Right.
You know, which I feel, like I said, I feel good about, you know, 20 of our 22, really do. And the other two are just still got to prove it, you know. What are they going to do when the lights come on? I think they can, but we'll see again.
Mm-hmm. Kickers, special teams, they're going to be different this year.
They are. Do we have quite the strength of leg that Mitch had at punter? No, but very consistent, very consistent. It's a lefty kicker and Ben, I like. You know, it's a different spin. It's a different tail when it's corkscrewed, when a corkscrew comes out and doesn't turn over, or that ball starts drifting back away, which is a different spin the guys are used to catching. So we've been practicing against it, so we're kind of used to it. But other teams, it can be a little bit different on how the ball drifts, and all it takes is one muff punt to switch a game around, and you know, we could definitely get that interest. And yeah, Oslo looks like he's winning the kicker job right now. You know, we saw him against the Old Dominion, I guess, a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Really strong legs. He's definitely won the kickoff job. He's putting it back there, you know, close to the back of the end zone. If there's a little bit of wind, if there's no wind, he's putting it midway back there. So feel good about that. Feel really good about who we can put out there. Special teams now. Yeah, we've got less numbers on our squad, but well, those 105 can go for us, and we don't have a lot of holes in that aspect. So, you know, we will field a really good special teams group on both sides of the ball.
Will the Lions ever line up with two punters side by side? That was an interesting look. I don't know that it ever really fooled anybody, but it sure gave them pause to think about what they were doing.
I don't think so. But we do have some tricks under our sleeves. Yeah. You know, Coach McLean's done a great job with special teams, you know, taking over for Coach Welch, and just a different, you know, different style, to say the least. And Coach Conley up front with the protection of that's going to, you know, really got those guys going in the right direction when it comes to that and protecting the field goal. There's nothing better for a kicker to understand, you know that they're going to keep him off him. He can relax and just, you know, even if it's a little bit of a, you know, bobble snap or something like that, just take his time and put it through. Take your time being, you know, facetious there.
He can't
take too much time.
Yeah.
We clock it every day, and we want to make sure that's kicked off at a certain time. So, love where our special teams are heading.
Excellent stuff. Getting ready for SMU. What do you got to say about the Ponies right now?
You know, they're a good football team. There's the bottom line is they were, you know, a team that made the FBS playoff last year. And we talked off air. That means, you know, the guys that maybe they couldn't get last year because they hadn't arrived, they've arrived now. They can go get some guys that, you know, maybe were thinking about Alabama or, you know, wanting to get out of the country and go to Ohio State, but now can stay home and know that they have a chance to win a national championship. And that's why a lot of guys end up leaving the state of Texas. You know, we have so many good players here. But, you know, now that we're with Texas being as good as they are, number one right off the bat, you know, they'll be highly ranked SMU, and, you know, they'll start staying home, hopefully.
Yeah, you talk about that, Coach. 1 year, and it's been in the last 10, I looked at the rosters of every bowl game. Mm. And out of 36 bowl games, I think, it's a lot of them, there were two teams that did not have a Texan on them.
Yeah. I mean,
so we are pretty good at this.
Yeah,
it's like
we are.
Our national sport.
Yeah, us California and Florida, it's always the debate. It's anytime you get some of those kids in the room that come from those states, it's always a battle for whatever.
Have them going head-to-head for a starter's job. That'll get out the best of them. All right, what's the team's routine going to be like next week?
Back to business. You know, we still have a little bit of camp to go. Mm-hmm. Today's our day off, and tomorrow we get back at it. We're full pads tomorrow. Still got some work to do. Still have a few things we need to add in on both sides of the ball, but not much. Pretty much everything's in. And it's just now of fine-tuning what we do have in, seeing what we want to pick out and use that's going to work against SMU on both sides of the ball. But getting into next week, you know, Monday they're off, and then Saturday's all our games. So Monday's off. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is, you know, hard work. And then Friday's your travel day, walk through, those type things. And, you know, SMU being basically a home game, we don't have to travel. So on Friday, we'll just.
There's been some good Lion ticket sales for that game.
There has been. And there should be. You know, that's almost a home game for us being right down the road. So, yeah, it's going to be a great atmosphere. Can't wait. Can't wait for the kids. They've done a lot of hard work, put a lot into it. You know, and we won't look past them to Florida State, but that'll be an unbelievable atmosphere, too.
Can't wait. It's almost here. We're less than, are we 10 days? We're 10 days. 10 days. Lions and SMU will be there. You ought to make that one, too. Coach, go get ready. You got the day off. We're going to let you enjoy some more film time.
That's right.
That's
back to
probably
work.
Probably all there is. Let's line up, everybody. Hey, thanks again for tuning in for another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. We'll do it again next week. See you then.